Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
I see that tonight, and I can only say they are cheating their manager. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday, the 29th of April. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
No reflection on PSG, that little quote there. Mm-hmm. Hello, guys.
Excellent historical sledging there. I enjoyed that.
Just keep it coming. I would love it. 25 years ago today.
Yeah. It's remarkable, isn't it?
It's also Ed Ball's day, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, or was that yesterday? Either way, two historic things happening around the same time.
It's good that the political class are paying tribute to Kevin Keegan this week, though, isn't it?
Indeed.
Are they? Am I being sick?
Did you not see Boris Johnson at Prime Minister's Question Time?
I try not to see him.
He was very keggy. Very, very keggy.
worth a look? Or
yeah, in a way.
Oh!
You win!
I have absolutely no idea how that happened, but I'm going to move.
You pressed the wrong button, or pressed a button.
No buttons
required. Just jabbing at buttons.
You guys are pushing all my buttons already so far this morning. The idle chatter. Did you have a lovely time watching the PSG game last night, Andy Brassel?
Yeah, magnificent. It felt like a struggle for the soul of football, or certainly for my soul. Mm. Anyway. It's a weird thing, isn't it?
Is your soul? How can your soul be anywhere good in a game between two Gulf states?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's the exact limbo, isn't it, that Andy's describing?
It's a weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a strange thing. I think it dampens down after a while, doesn't it? You start thinking about the players.
Yeah.
I've always thinking, like, I'd like Pep Guardiola to be happy. I like Pep. He's entertaining. I'm just going to stop thinking about it from here.
Yeah.
Winning big Champions League games is not his happy.
Right.
As we know, having 34 shots against a mid-table opponent and not winning is his happy.
Right, so you think he'll actually be a bit flat today?
I think he needs the puzzle to work
to solve,
out, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Pep Guardiola's side marched through to the second leg with a sizable advantage there. Is this the game in the bag? Is this finals? Let's not forget the last time a side managed to overturn a deficit of this magnitude, or of any kind of magnitude, in the semis of the Champions League. It was a team led by Mauricio Pochettino.
Mm.
It certainly was. And, of course, Paris Saint-Germain's best performances have been away from a rattlingly empty Parc des Princes in the Champions League this season.
And it was a really good performance in the second half from Man City. But,
really good.
Obviously, Kevin De Bruyne's goal is indicative of the fact that sometimes De Bruyne's passes are so good they're actually goals. You can't really depend on that happening again, can you? And also the free kick was a very unusual set of circumstances. Brilliant free kick from Mahrez, but the way that hole
was
opened
it?
Up was unusual.
Was it? Was
well,
it?
I yeah, mean, if it goes, I think that's a valid question.
I think it's
that's
actually a pretty shit free
that's
kick.
That's a good point.
I appreciate it's ended up in the back of the net, so I'm the loser here. But frankly, if someone smacked it into the wall and the wall had actually been there, I think he would have looked like a bit of a twat.
Quite. Fair enough. I take your point. You're absolutely right. Right? But and the point is, it's gone in, isn't it? But it's like, it isn't the scoreline makes it look like actually they turned things around in the second half and they really turned the screw and they were the better team in the second half. They'd sort of control the game, but not in a sort of free flowing, creating a lot of clear chances way. So I wonder if actually, as Andy's alluded to, this leg or this tie isn't as over as it might perhaps be tempting to say it is, because there's a lot more to come. And you could really tell that City were playing without a striker. There were points where I
exactly.
think Kyle Walker getting making an incredible run into the box, and they're just no one looking really interested in being in there. Like, I mean, the false nines were so false, like so false, that they weren't even anywhere near the box. Like,
they were manning Prime Minister's
nines.
Question time.
Fraud
that's
nines.
How false they were. I think that's right, Jim, because still so much of our conclusions on football are dictated by the result, as if the result justifies everything, as if the result writes the narrative, which isn't right, because if PSG don't concede two very avoidable goals, let's be clear on that, then I guess they're justified about talking about a defensive masterclass.
Yes.
Where they kept Manchester City at arm's length despite the fact they couldn't get out of their half for the entire second half of the game. And we wouldn't be talking about PSG completely losing their shit.
Oh, it was amazing.
Well.
Such so good.
Tetchy bitches. It just starts going slightly against them. They start chucking their toys out of the pram. It's absolutely amazing. Like, what a turnaround. Because City in the second half, I was starting to get frustrated on their behalf. They weren't getting anything. They weren't getting any free kicks. And like a few occasions where I was like, that is pretty obvious, pretty nailed on free kick, and they weren't getting it. But then, I don't know, they get the goal, PSG start almost sulking. That seemed to turn the tide, and things kind of, you know, levelled out a bit when they're actually getting free kicks and stuff. And I just can't believe an implosion like that from a team that's aiming to be elite, that were in the final last season, that have done such a good job of keeping their shit together, basically.
I'm hoping Basil's going to come in and explain it, because for starters, Leandro Paredes, we've already mentioned him sort of like ducking away in the wall, and Kimpembe as well on the other side of him to create that lovely channel for
that lovely little egg.
They'll just strike through, for Mahrez to strike through. Perfect. Thank you so much. But he also kicked the ball away, Paredes, to give the free kick in the first place and get the yellow card. And then, of course, I don't know, I'm still feeling, I don't know if this is an overreaction on my part, but I'm still feeling pretty pissed off with Drissa Gay.
I was awful.
And it's sincerely, like, as in, you know, talk about a leg breaker. I just, watching that back, I felt really quite angry about that challenge.
You shouldn't be doing that to another professional in any situation, because it clearly came out of frustration and out of just, you know, wanting to sort of wrestle the game back out of pettiness, really, almost. It was just like, you're a professional. You know you're going to get sent off for that. You're endangering someone there as well. It's like, it's embarrassing at that level. It's absolutely embarrassing.
Especially when you look at Gundogan and the fact that he's really suffered with injuries. You know, you're talking about someone who's in the top bracket of midfielders in the world, but would be one of the absolute best, I think, if he hadn't have had these little stoppages in his career. And what I found quite offensive, and I totally agreed with the BT commentary team on this, was when Kevin De Bruyne put on that late tackle on, I want to say, Marquinhos or Kimpembe, which he got booked for, which was fair enough. It was a bad tackle.
Yeah, it was.
But the way that the PSG players were trying to compare that to what Garner Gay had done
Neymar
to
cheerleading it as well.
It's just nonsense. I mean, he absolutely launched himself at him.
Yeah, it was grim. I really thought it was grim.
I thought he was seriously injured.
Yeah, me too, when he signed that. And because, of course, you know, as regular football watchers as we are, that's how we like to know ourselves, you see a lot of flailing about and lying down and rolling around and all this stuff that makes people who don't watch football so annoyed with football. But in that moment, you really realise that was a piece of behaviour that was so out of place, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, him, Gundogan getting up and running around again was the best bit of the second half for me. It was brilliant that he got out of that in one piece. But from Pochettino's perspective, I think you probably look at that and you think, yeah, actually, damage limitation, that could have been way, way, way worse. I mean, it was implied, actually, in the French media that, well, he didn't really get his substitutions right, did he? Because, you know, he should have managed the tension in the team. And it's like, well, how could he know that Gay was going to do something like that?
Yeah.
It's ludicrous. I mean, I think you get to the end of that if you're Pochettino and you think, we had a fucking dreadful second half, but we're still in the tie. Neymar didn't get himself sent off, which was definitely a possibility for a lot of it. We've never been there before, have we?
No.
Yeah.
I think you got to credit City as well for the second half, perhaps a little bit more than we have done on the defensive side of their game as well, because they isolated Mbappe so well, which is such a hard thing to do, however you might plan for it. And they did really, really just set the agenda in the entire half. And to the point, you know, where certainly when Gay was sent off, you were thinking they're probably going to get a third here. And they were going for it as well. Because, they were very aware of how in control of the game they were. It was just interesting.
Going back to what you were saying before, Jim, you reckon they get it with the centre forward?
I think they might have done. I was surprised he didn't bring someone on just to have a bit more of a presence.
Well, because there was you know, the suggestion that Sergio Aguero might have like finished the game or something.
Even
like
Jesus,
that.
Like just someone, someone who's, you know, who might only need a half chance.
Yeah,
because there's, you know, someone who's used to being clinical,
who gravitates towards the 6-yard box.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that goes against the whole complicated Rubik's Cube theory of Pep Guardiola.
You shouldn't have hung out with Gary Kasparov in New York.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it?
Definitely should have. What are you talking about? That's obviously ideal.
Okay, not won the Champions League since, Kate.
Yeah. Well, that's Kasparov's never won it, famously.
Proof. No, he hasn't. He never wins
Why
anything.
Why take advice from him?
He never wins anything. Kevin De Bruyne afterwards, a really, I thought, nice post-match, sort of explaining the thinking behind. He was analysing the first half as being, you know, in the first half we rushed, we wanted to go forward too quickly. We're not set up to do that. It was really him thinking it through, I thought, in the post-match. And then he was obviously asked about the fact that Mahrez took that free kick when he was obviously standing over the ball, Kevin De Bruyne. And he said he asked if he could take it. And I said, if you have full confidence in yourself, take it.
I love that. That would make me go, now, actually, Kevin, you have it. Yeah, which is clearly what he's tried to do, isn't it? That's why I don't play for Man City, or indeed anyone.
Yeah, but his face also, De Bruyne, it totally registered. It was a massive fluke as well. He was like, yeah, and, you know, he scored, so who can argue with that?
The thing is, because Kevin De Bruyne gets very red-faced very quickly, he always gives the impression of being slightly put out and angry, I think, in a situation like that, doesn't he? Yeah,
very much so.
Or as if he's had an allergic reaction to alcohol, one of the two.
Or he's teething, apparently. That's anyway.
One thing I did enjoy was getting to see Verratti doing the draft extractor and the faces that he makes.
Yeah, they needed a blue sofa behind that.
I would rather watch a compilation of his faces than like pretty much any football game in the history of football. they're magnificent.
Where does he stack up compared to Phil Jones to you?
Oh, Phil's trying too hard.
As in, you think his face is more inauthentic?
Oh, yeah, totally.
He's totally. Like acting out the feelings he has.
They're effort faces.
Right.
Whereas, you know, it's like the difference between a sprinting player that you can tell is stretching every sinew and, say, an Mbappe or a Haaland or a Thierry Henry, who is incredibly fast without seemingly making any effort.
Mm. Right.
That's Verratti. He's in the latter category in terms of his faces. Exactly. They call him the little owl for a reason.
The little owl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
He does look like an owl.
Yeah, but do owls have particularly expressive faces? I mean, they can only really do the blink and the clever head move thing.
Yeah. Apparently they're also quite thick, despite everyone thinking they're wise.
Stop it.
Apparently owls are stupid.
Where'd you get that from?
Owl internet.
Are you just slandering owls?
No, it's a thing I've read. I mean, I'm no owl expert. I'm just saying it's a fake owl news.
Don't
cast yourself as an owl expert and then say, well, I'm no expert
on
owls.
Where have you read it? dormouseroom.com or something?
I can't go...
People slandering the owls.
I can't immediately go back through my entire browsing history for good reason, obviously. So I don't know exactly where I read it, but apparently it's a fairly well-known thing that owls are quite stupid.
A fairly well-known thing? Well, 2 out of 3.
Like Marco Verratti's had a terrible night and then you've really stuck the boot in there, haven't you? Marco is just a repetitive cycle of behaviour. When are you going to grow out of it?
You lost and you're notoriously quite thick.
owls.
Indeed. But I've never seen the draft extractor technique actually work. I suppose the point is like that it's a deterrent. It stops people trying to go under the wall, right? But it does seem like just
does one person start doing it in houses?
It's like nuclear warheads.
No, it doesn't. But yeah, it's I just don't know why people keep doing it.
Yeah, they definitely needed a bigger one or to stack four players above them. Which would be... Oh, we've got some information about owls. They don't have such relatively large, well-developed brains, and when tested in captivity, haven't shown above-average intelligence. That doesn't make them stupid, Jim.
I think they're quite
In Western cultures, the myth of the wise owl might have arisen because Athena, Greek goddess of wisdom, is often portrayed with an owl on her shoulder. But to be honest, the owl on her shoulder could just be reaping the rewards of her great wisdom.
Yeah. Because it's thick.
Yeah. Or maybe she simply left some bird food on there.
Yes.
Or she was a pirate, and pirates had owls back then.
It's a great point. We're not casting any aspersions on Roy Hodgson, though. It should probably be confirmed. Manchester City, let's not forget, can also win the Premier League title this weekend if they beat Palace and Manchester United lose to Liverpool on the Sunday. Yeah, all right, it's done. We know that.
Yeah.
Well done, Manchester City.
It's funny,
and you're going to win
it?
The Champions League, so that's exciting. Do we think that?
Not yet. I won't believe they've done it until they've actually done it.
I mean, that's a very sensible way to live, I think, Andy. But well, I mean, I'm going to push you for a bit more.
No, because I just feel that this year after year after year, Manchester City are the bookies' favourites in the UK exclusively to win the Champions League because they're so brilliant domestically.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always project to the Champions League. I mean, in terms of getting to the latter stages of the Champions League, certainly in the Guardiola era, they've got less rep than Paris Saint-Germain, for example, haven't they? Who got to the final last season.
And he mentioned it in the post-match as well, Pep, didn't he? He was like, you know, and we don't have much heritage in this competition. So he's sort of laying down his own heritage.
Yeah, I mean, that second leg is by far the more interesting of the two, isn't it?
But yeah, absolutely.
Even though, you know, the other one's a bit more tightly poised.
Do you think so? I mean, well, there could be a game-changing piece of news from Real Madrid because Marcelo is apparently set to miss the second leg back at Stamford Bridge next Wednesday because he's been called up for polling duty in the Madrid elections. I'm not sure what exactly polling duty is. Is it like those people, you know, is it those little old ladies that sit outside of polling booths in England and they go...
Like he's got his ruler he's just like crossing your name and address out so you don't vote twice.
Is that it?
I think
you're taking
it.
The piss, but is that what
it's something like that,
isn't
it?
That's what it is, It's going to be something like straightforward and simple that anyone can do. Otherwise, you wouldn't just call up anyone to do it. It's very weird.
I mean, I love the idea of Zinedine Zidane, who's not the most expressive guy, going, we're really going to miss you in London next week. Oh, do you want to loan him my ruler? I love that idea. But the thing is, this would be the ultimate Zinedine Zidane way to drop someone who's an experienced player and who you really rely on. I don't really know how to say it. I'm not really a confrontational sort of person. It turns out you've been called up for poll station duty.
That's amazing.
What are the chances on Champions League semi-final second leg?
Well, they say they've tried to get him out of it, but you think that might have...
They say that.
They might have been getting him more into it.
There is precedent. This has happened to players before and they've not had to do it. So I'm sure Marcelo will not have to go to a polling station instead of a Champions League semi-final second leg. But we'll see, won't we? We'll see.
Well, what is more important, democracy or just a fucking football game, Jim?
Well, it's democracy, isn't it? So deal with it, Marcelo.
You say that, but if he's doing the work in the polling station, he can't even like watch it on his phone because presumably that's some sort of breach.
You're not allowed to bring your phones in, are you? Or are you? People always have photos of their dogs outside in England anyway. They always have photos of them, like their dogs outside polling stations. But maybe that's...
What are you saying? The dog holds the phone while you go in and vote?
In Australia, they have a thing called the democracy sausage.
Those are very clever dogs. Okay.
Where outside polling stations, there will be like a van or a hut or something selling sausages in a piece of bread because it's cheaper rather than a bun. I think sometimes they sell them, sometimes they actually give them away, and it's to encourage people to vote. And I think we should have it here.
Sorry, so it's a get you buy it or you...
In some, I think they give it away in some cases, but they sell it like if it's a school or whatever that's acting as a polling station, they'll sell it for like a dollar as a fundraising thing. And I think, yeah,
is bread so much cheaper than a bun?
Well, I think a loaf of bread is not much,
you
is
it?
So
it up.
Yeah, so you get more out of it.
I could definitely get on board with that.
So maybe that's what Marcelo will be doing. We don't know, they don't do that in Spain.
Yeah, all right. Okay, well, anyway, it's the day... it doesn't even directly clash this polling station duty. The concern is he can't... It's the day before, but he can't then travel because of COVID restrictions.
Oh, what?
Ugh, 2021, what are you doing to us?
Yeah. Going back briefly to Man City potentially winning the league at the weekend, it really doesn't feel like it means that much, does it? After the kind of drama and the sort of, I suppose, trauma of the last few weeks and the Super League. Like, yeah. It does just feel like, yeah, they're going to win it, I suppose. Might as well rubber stamp it this weekend.
Yeah,
whatever.
I suppose they have been quite far
ahead. Forget all this
season. Oh, yes, sorry, I got that wrong at the top. I should have said Paris Saint-Germain, the delightful Paris Saint-Germain who saved European football. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, we forgot that they saved European football.
Yeah, didn't they? The good guys.
Yeah, they did.
What good eggs. Well, because they're actually like the heritage brand within all of this now, aren't they?
That's right.
They're like
1917.
The Avengers, aren't they?
Yeah.
Superstars coming together for the good of everyone else. Well done.
Oh, well, I'm glad that we can get them a bit of credit finally. On that
Neymar on Live Aid. I love it.
On that note, there's been quite a lot going on with Arsenal since we last talked on Tuesday.
Has there?
Or not enough.
Has it just been a lot of hot air?
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right. Okay, well, I think we want there to be things going on.
Yeah, a lot of chat.
Jim, do you want there to be things going on?
Jim wants things to be going on.
I think every Arsenal fan would like would be for Stan Kroger to move on in some way. I don't know if, like, the idea of this kind of new billionaire who seems a bit more likable.
He says he likes Arsenal, doesn't he?
Yeah, it all seems a bit he says he's too good to be true.
Supported them for 30 years, Jim.
Yeah.
So I think we should devise some kind of quiz in order to...
For him.
In order to prove that.
Okay. I don't know...
Like, whose shoulder did Tony Adams dislocate after winning the League Cup?
Correct,
if he doesn't know it, he can't buy the club.
Yeah.
If he does well, we present that to Stan Kroenke and go, hey, look, he really cares about this thing that you own.
Well, the thing about Kroenke is he wouldn't know who Tony Adams was, probably. So.
He doesn't care. it's really interesting to me that that this has developed so quickly, because as I started to say, I think every Arsenal fan would like, in some way or another, the Kroenkes to sell the club and move on. What's surprising is that what looks like a mostly credible bid has come along so quickly. Mm. But, you know, the Kroenkes have been more unpopular at their teams in the US and have just brushed it off. They don't care. They're about the balance sheets. They're not really about what the fans of teams think about them. So I'd be surprised if they sold up, because, I mean, his plan is to leave it in his family, for it to be a dynasty, for it to be a thing that they do for generations, that he wants to leave his family, which is obviously a really powerful thing as well. And it'd be a really interesting test of whether fan power can work from Arsenal, because I think fans need to, you know, keep up that pressure of keep up the Kroenke out, keep up the frustration with kind of being, you know, being owned by owners that aren't really interested in how the team do on the pitch. And however much they might say that's not the case, clearly it is, because the decline has been, you know, it's been pretty spectacular, really, isn't it? So, yeah, I'm intrigued as to see where this goes.
I mean, if there was a protest like last Friday,
there's apparently
the
more
Emirates,
planned this weekend.
Mm-hmm. If there was one at every home game,
mm-hmm.
like going forward, that surely would.
At least it would
do something, because like say for example, I mean if football's taught us anything, and certainly football in the UK has taught us anything over the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. it's like we've spent ages singling out Mike Ashley, and quite rightly so.
Yeah, true.
It turns out we live in a league of Mike Ashleys.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And also the Kroenkes aren't even on the same continent in most cases. So
on the other hand, there have been moments where Mike Ashley's felt under pressure, has felt inconvenienced, yes. has wanted to sell the club. And that is with really nowhere near. It's only very recently, say, that Newcastle United fans have become more mobilised, talking about raising money to buy some shares in the club, all that sort of stuff. And it's taken them, how long has he been in charge? Like, I don't know, a decade and a half to get to that point. And Arsenal, with all due respect to Newcastle, globally more visible.
Yeah.
And have fans from all over the world. I think they can make it uncomfortable for them.
Well, I mean, the Kroenkes are business people, right? So they're going to entertain any offer, because it's the right thing to do. You should at least hear out what this what this bid has to say. So what happens after this bid has been presented is the real interesting thing. It could be the start of a conversation, even if right now KSE don't plan for it to be. Maybe they'll get to a number where they think, actually, you know what, we would consider selling up for this. So who knows? I don't broker many multi-billion dollar deals myself.
That's
so I'm not really sure about how the ins and outs of it work, but I, you know, a bid will be made and a bid will be entertained, I'm sure. It might be entertained for 2 seconds and it's then gone, thanks for no thanks, but we'll see.
It's symbolic, basically, of that they're hopefully of there being some sort of shift. I think, you know, you mentioned the fact that Daniel Ek has very quickly seems to have got the funds, secured the funds available, and he says, I hope they hear me out. He's expected to make this $1.8 billion offer in the coming days. So the symptomatic thing is that at the moment, these clubs are being questioned, the ownership is being questioned, and effectively that provides a window for these. Perhaps it's been cooking around in the background, perhaps it's been something that he's been thinking about for a long time.
Yeah, but well, he claims it's not even the first time he's actually approached Arsenal.
Right, so there we go. Whereas now this is obviously a moment to strike, whereas before,
exactly,
whatever it was, last week, only last week.
It's mad, isn't it?
It wouldn't have been possible.
But that's it, Kate. I don't think, it almost doesn't matter if it doesn't happen this time. It almost doesn't matter if it's not Daniel Ek.
Yeah. It's
just that the fact that there's some sort of appetite for change, and whether it's him or not, there will always be someone who can get together something to buy Arsenal.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry, I'm feeding the Super League narrative here, but that they are absolutely globally enormous.
Yeah.
You know, there's no getting away from that. Regardless of where they are sports-wide at the moment, there are people all over the world who are interested in Arsenal and care about Arsenal. They're an enormous global brand, in inverted commas. So, you know, something could happen at some point down the line if it's made uncomfortable enough for the current ownership group.
Yeah, Arteta says, I'm sure the Cronkies will do anything to bring the fans closer to them. If the supporters get the opportunity to know them, I think most of them will be surprised. I'm not going to give you the chance to come back in on that. Andy, we're going to get to a break in a second. What's coming up on the continent later today?
Well, we'll be looking at the misery of Good Guys Paris, and we'll also be looking at the brilliance of Karim Benzema, and we'll be looking at Bordeaux and the questions that threaten their very future.
Ooh, okay. That's out this afternoon, Thursday afternoon, on Football Ramble Presents. Can't wait to listen to that, Andy. Right, time for a break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
On the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, Melissa speaks to footballer Lee Nicol, who in 2019 was hacked and had intimate footage leaked online. Lee opens up about the impact it had on her and how she came back from it.
The first mental impact, it was sheer shock. It was panic attacks. It was shame. It was guilt. I think I felt every single sense of emotion. It felt a little bit like grief, as if I had lost someone, but I hadn't lost someone. The only person I think I'd lost was myself.
Meanwhile, on the latest on the continent on Football Ramble Presents, Dotton, Andy and Miguel Delaney unpack everything surrounding the Super League and how it has changed football forever.
When you watch a Champions League game, when you watch, say, Manchester United in Champions League, Real Madrid in Champions League, it's not just a match. It's that every single minute of the match is imbued with 7 decades of history. The Super League, which has none of that. I was getting quite sad for that we were going to lose this and have to face this monstrosity.
All that and a whole lot more at Sakharov.
4 or 5 years, never complain about the referees and the action, but this action is really incredible.
He's even done it to the Jungle Rhythm. I love it. Go on, General Levy.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Me, Andy and Jim with you today. And now it's time for some of these tasty little things.
If you got a new nickname for Pete, or you're a big fan of Vish, if you want Jules to swear at you, or you think Jim's a dish, if you like Kate's pop culture references, or got a Sven story for Speller, if you disagree with Luke, or think that Andy's far too clever, email show at footballramble.com. Go ahead and email show at footballramble.com.
Really takes the mood down, doesn't it?
To a nice place, though.
Yeah.
I feel very relaxed now.
If he could have written a longer tale, then we could just read out the whole email with just the piano in the background.
Maybe that's the future, and like music beds. Yeah. For the whole section, and they can be as long as you like. Adam Barnard has been in touch. He says, on Vish's comments on wearing jeans in a hot bath to fit them to your legs, this is also a recommended technique to fitting new football boots, as they are obviously supposed to be very snug to your feet. Mm. I was unfortunate enough to have my girlfriend walk in on me on the shower wearing football boots earlier this year. I think that wearing jeans would have made that image less strange and perhaps more Peter Andre mysterious girl-esque. I mean... Does it work in the shower?
I don't think it does.
I think you're just wearing boots in the shower for no reason there, Adam.
Also, jeans and football boots. I'm not having that.
I don't think he's suggesting wearing them together. I think he was fully nude with shoes on. Is that not what you're imagining?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, I'm not imagining it. I just think that's what he's saying.
Terry Gibson was famously discovered breaking in new boots like that on a FA Cup final morning in 1988.
There you go. There's clearly something to it. That is quite late, isn't it? They're not going to be dry in time. I sometimes feel like for a final, they should all have to wear a tux. Like, obviously, you still wear boots and shin pads, yeah, but you just got to wear a tux. It's a big occasion.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, you know, that famous Cultura Leonesa strip where it's like the drawn on tux.
Yes. No, I mean a real tuxedo.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Maybe, I think, yes, when we take over, when the revolution comes and we take over football, let's make that happen. When I used to get forced to do CCF at school, we used to have
what
to do
that. What is that, sorry?
It's like
horrifically. I actually know what that is.
Right.
Oh no! I don't know what it stands for. Combined Cadet Force. It's like
you nerd.
It's like fake army. No, I was bloody lad because I didn't want to do it because I thought I was too much of like a rebel.
Right.
Everyone had to do it. We were conscripted for 1 year and fourth year. And you had to dress up in army gear.
So you did like national service. Kate Mason.
Anyway.
Manning the Turkish Greek border.
I didn't. Mainly it was just like painting camouflage onto your face and like running around in bushes and stuff. But for your army boots also, same deal. Put them in the bath.
Look, I think Graham Langlands wants to butt in here. Let me take you back to November 2008. Newcastle were shite, because that has to be written in a Geordie accent.
Yeah.
Part of the sentence. Manchester City were just about to get good. I'd just been sacked from a job and had a bit of time on my hands. Walking the dog along the winter wonderland of the Huddersfield Narrow Canal, I paused to take a photograph of the beautiful scene. Slipped, stumbled, and fell through the ice.
Ooh,
luckily, it wasn't too deep, and I could scramble out again, but it was a hairy old job, and my bollocks have never really recovered from the cold.
I mean, I'm not sure what that's got to do with anything, but fair enough.
How are your bollocks, Jim?
Unscathed, actually.
Sorry.
I think that's some Norwegian army training, isn't it? You have to break out from under a frozen
now,
lake.
Now everyone knows about the army and being in the CCF. Suddenly you're kind of cracking out your army
Did you have to break out from underneath a frozen lake in the CCF?
That was my escape tactic, yeah. I was trying to climb through the river. For more on... Yeah, not bollocks stories, obviously. Send us an email, show@footballramble.com or tweet us @footballramble. And also, if you've got any more jingles... Oh, it's Toby Elliott today. I'm not sure if I referenced
him. Played a blinder, Tobes, as he always does.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Send us more.
It's just going to be bollocks stories now, isn't it?
Yes. I don't know why.
We're fine with bollocks stories, just not stories about your bollocks. Just to clarify.
That's the kind of clarity that Andy Brassel brings to the ramble, and you've got to respect it. Let's have a little chat about this social media blackout that football clubs, lots and lots of football clubs are now committing to doing. The Premier League and also big broadcasters from 3 p.m. on Friday to midnight on Monday, the 3rd of May. Clubs across the Premier League, also the EFL, WSL, Women's Championship, are going to shut down their Instagram, Twitter and Facebook accounts. Basically, it's the first kind of action of this kind since the PFA organised a 24-hour boycott in April 2019, although that was only on the players' account. So this seems to be much more significant because it's these big entities taking a step to say, effectively, we're sick of all of the things that we've been talking about all year and all season and last season as well, and seasons of yore, about people getting abuse on social media constantly about race, about gender, about whatever, any kind of characteristics you like. The Football Ramble social accounts are going to do this as well, just because we think these issues are so important, and we support the boycott and what it represents. I guess my question for you guys would be, you know, what do you make of it as an idea, and Jim, do you think, you know, is this a hopeful act?
Well, I think the idea is it puts pressure on the social media companies, doesn't it, to show kind of to show them what they're missing if these organisations continue to be driven away by what is unacceptable. We all know it's unacceptable, so at some point you have to not accept it. And that's the only way, in the short term, I think, to do this. But it's interesting to see where it will go, isn't it? To see what happens next, to see how these social media companies respond to that, because, you know, they always make the, you know, they always sort of talk about how difficult it is to police this sort of thing on the scale. But it's like, that is on them. That is up to you. You've got to start making some changes, because we've really just heard a lot of noise about how difficult it is, rather than seeing any sort of concrete change. The responsibility doesn't seem to fall on the social media companies as much as everyone would like it to. So I would hope that this could enact some actual change. I think it's quite timely as well, coming a few weeks after we've seen sort of what collective outrage can do. A lot of people made the point that, you know, why can't we be this kind of organised when it comes to combating racism and discrimination? And obviously they're not exactly linked, these two points, but we have seen that people power is quite a powerful thing, and I suppose it's almost quite Gandhi-esque kind of, you know, path of least resistance way to do it. But I hope that it can be quite a powerful thing, and I hope it's it doesn't just go back to normal on Monday. We'll see.
Reports this morning that government are planning a historic legal case against Twitter and Instagram after accusing them of actively preventing the prosecution of online abusers. Andy, what do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and it's a positive thing, because I think, you know, I don't think this is a bad thing in itself at all, and I think it is important. I think when you consider how much the social media experience is part of people's football watching experience today, this is not insignificant. For that very reason, because I think people will feel it. Football fans everywhere will feel this and will realise that this is something important. But as I think we've all said before, and as I think is worth saying again, a call to action is not action itself.
Yes.
It's the start of something. It's the signalling that something needs to be done. But as Jim says, it's not enough. It's just an indication that something should be happening. It's not that actual thing happening. And unfortunately, for something as intrinsic and invidious as this in society, I know people want to believe that there's a quick fix for everything, that one thing can be done and, you know, it just needs to be decisive enough. That's not true with this, unfortunately. And it's going to take continued effort, continued reminders, continued education and understanding. And that's what makes this more challenging than the Super League or any of that other stuff, because there is no 2 days of commitment and mania that will finish this off. It just doesn't work like that. And, you know, I think this is hopefully this can be a start to people understanding this, and there needs to be more and more things that keep this at the forefront of our minds and at the forefront of the conversation, so the situation can improve over time.
It's also hugely multifaceted as well, isn't it? I don't think there are going to be many people that stop being racist because there's a social media blackout.
This is my caution, yeah.
But it's part of a very, very complicated situation where obviously there needs to be a societal consciousness raising where people actually do take a step back from their own actions and go, actually, maybe I am bigoted.
It starts with thinking about what you say.
Yeah, of course.
But do you really think that this is... So this is my note of caution about it. I'm really glad that, you know, I'm always glad that there are big steps being taken to highlight any of this. You know, we've had many conversations about this on The Ramble, and it's endemic to our sport and to our society. But equally, you know, it doesn't... I appreciate there's all sorts of... commercial things that will have needed to be discussed for people not to tweet, by the way, over the weekend, because you know you have all of this stuff set up and you've got to do it in advance and you have agreements and yada yada. So clearly people have taken steps. I'm sure there will have been a lot of meetings. It seems like a good moment that people are coming together on this. But I think as you're starting to hint towards, you know, the performative nature of it, I don't know. I guess what I'm feeling is it's good to do something. I don't know if this is obviously not it. Sorry, this is not enough. This is not all of it. But I don't know if this is quite an easy thing to do, and if it shifts the blame from firstly, like, individuals who are saying things, these sorts of horrendous things that we see, but also
doesn't it go back to
clubs themselves as well, onto just the social media companies.
Doesn't it go back to football fans and their power, though?
Mm.
Because it's up to us to affect or at least start to affect how clubs look at this and how social media deals with this, because those companies depend on our custom. Mm. So really that depends on us as a group coming together for the common good. And that's where I think people make the consciousness connection between how the Super League was dealt with and how this might be dealt with.
Yeah.
Now, this is a far longer term commitment. Like I said before, we've got to be clear on that. This is not something that can be mopped up in some frenzied 3 days or a week or something like that. It just can't happen, unfortunately. And there has to be a real commitment to it. But I do think that... I do think it could be the start of something. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's so multifaceted. It can't only be dealt with in one place. It needs to be dealt with in a lot of different places. Social media is one of those places. I think this is a good start in at least trying to sort of, you know, highlight the work that needs to be done.
But yeah, we're the customers, yes. Us three, and many of us, I'm sure you guys have been abused too. Probably more than the two of you, just... by virtue of...
Not probably, definitely.
By being female. But in terms of customer... Well, we're also the product that social media companies are selling, I guess. So to your point, that's why it's so significant. If not so much people like us, but these bigger companies. But the other people who are customers of the social media companies are people who want to get on there and abuse and shout at people. And that is a vast, vast proportion, seemingly, of the people who are engaged in using... social media. And in terms of Twitter and Instagram and all these other guys, if you had fewer trolls, if you had fewer multiple accounts, then the amount of advertising you can sell off the back of there being hundreds of millions or whatever quote they make of users will be far lower. So I don't know if it actually is in their interests.
But, you know, that's like going back to what Facebook does, isn't it, with political ads. The fact is that the right thing is... not always the easiest thing, is not always the most profitable thing, but it's up to us as a society I'm not just putting it all on football fans. It's up to us as a society to come together, to not accept that, and to change it for the better.
Mm. All right, then. Fingers crossed, guys. Glad to talk about these things, and good to be hopeful about any step that's been taken beyond just sort of wailing and feeling a bit hopeless. So, yeah, that's going to be happening in the Football Ramble account as well, from 3 o'clock on Friday until midnight on Monday. And it turns out that you don't just have to go online to find snappy little bastards trying to kill you. Because Toronto FC are currently training in Florida. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but a large alligator came out and started, I don't know how it got to their training ground, to their training pitch, but it came out and started trying to get them.
That's not ideal, is it?
It's massive. And also they're fast, right?
Yeah, but only
in a straight line.
Right.
So probably the wingers would have been okay, but the centre-halves would have been in the shit.
Because they were all just standing around, like, laughing and stuff. And I was watching this footage like, guys, this is going to kill
you. This isn't like when a dog gets on the pitch.
Yeah. But presumably that's the problem, isn't it, with football's macho culture? Because rather than thinking, let's go and get some member of staff to sort this out, which is another reflex of footballers, yeah. I think there's probably a sense of, I could take him. I could take him.
I couldn't tell if it was a member of staff, but they did have someone.
What, the alligator?
They did have
in Florida, you can't rule anything out, can you?
Gators. Yeah, they did have a guy in a golf cart doing something or other.
I like
a gentleman with a broom, basically.
I like the way, Andy, you've gone straight to the idea of a member of staff sorting it out, like anyone's trained for, like, just getting rid of alligators. Well, I suppose if you live in Florida, maybe there is just like a gator guy in every corner, just in case.
The golf cart gator guy didn't seem to know what he was doing. The gator seemed to be getting angrier and angrier. It was sort of like lunging about the place. I don't know if they were hoping to head him off. How would you deal with an alligator?
How would I? I'd get a member of staff. Clearly, obviously, I'd do exactly the same thing.
Charlie.
Yeah, just get run away. It's not a battle you're going to win, is it?
Is that what you're saying? Sounds like you've got some experience of this.
Well, no, I have a friend who, him and his brother, were chased on the way back home from the pub by an alligator when they were on holiday in Florida. You just have to run in zigzags because they can only run in straight lines.
It tries to get, and then how does it try and turn? It can't.
No, it just can't.
So what does he do? Stop.
It just can't. It's very much like a 1980s centre-back.
Right.
In the English top flight, really.
Yeah.
No turning available.
So it effectively, if you set it off on this one direction, it's going to just keep going forever. Yeah, I mean, that can't be true, can it, Andy?
I wasn't chased by the alligator.
Do you not make yourself big, or is that elephants? Will I be in trouble?
Or bulls?
That's goalkeeping.
Yeah, ask Kayla Navas.
I have a bit of sympathy. Let's not just get on the alligator, right? Because the fact is, I suspect the alligators had a look at that and thought, look, right, you're Canadian, we've let you be in the MLS, but now you come down into Florida. Look, I know the Raptors are down there in Tampa, but, like, come on, man.
I would think, though, if you're an alligator,
yes,
a footballer looks like an amazing meal.
Mm.
Do you know, like, really, really in shape?
No, too muscly.
Too muscly, you think?
Is muscle not good to eat?
I wouldn't have thought so. Wouldn't you just want a fatty?
I don't know.
Going back to 1980s footballers.
I guess it's because you'd imagine an alligator would want to be quite lean itself. So it wouldn't want to necessarily be eating those tasty little fatty bits.
I'm just thinking what alligators would discuss in terms of diet, you know. Come on, James, you are what you eat.
Is it alligators? Oh, no, snakes, where they get... Is it when gators eat something, can you, like, see it in their tummy? Or is that just
I think
snakes?
You're thinking of, like, a big snake, aren't
you? Boa constrictor.
A big cartoon snake, specifically.
So they would obviously chomp... But I feel like we needed an expert. I feel like we've got a fourth chair in the studio, which we don't use for social distancing reasons. I feel like we need
a zoologist.
We needed a zoo.
So we know definitive things about alligators and owls.
Ologist, yeah. London Zoo just down the road from here. Maybe it's an idea for tomorrow.
Yeah, there
perfect.
You go. Great, great link up.
Perfect preview show. Well, find out. Come back tomorrow, everybody. Find out if that is what we've got for you tonight. There's some more football, obviously. Villarreal against Arsenal. Manchester United take on Roma, obviously. Arsenal visiting Unai Emery. See what he makes of
them.
The X.
There it goes. The moment it becomes that, you lose, don't you?
I'm so looking forward to this. I've been so looking forward to this for the whole Europa League, Villarreal versus Arsenal.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen?
No offence, Jim, but I hope Unai Emery has his day.
Obviously.
Of course you do.
Obviously, sorry.
Yeah, no.
He's a nice gentleman. I remember... Like,
and people
were
quite mean to him.
He is a dull vampire.
Did you say Professor Snape is designing policy for the British government?
Yeah.
Speaking of... Yeah, he's working... Professor Snape and some other professor, Faust... are working on a vaccination thing. It was announced yesterday.
We're through the looking glass, aren't we? Just completely through the looking glass.
Jim's back for us later today for a Patreon live stream.
Sure am.
Join up for that. And tomorrow we'll have Marcus, Luke, Andy and an alligator expert. So look forward to that, everybody. Nice to see you, Andy.
Likewise.
See you soon, Jim.
Bye.
Take care, you guys. Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym... for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.